You're not following, you're not loving like you need to love, which we talk about here, we've already talked about, and we will talk about. Doug talked about last week about what we do love. That's not about loving the things of the world, it's about our treasures that are in heaven. It's about the way that we look at this world, the way that we look at Christianity, the things that we put our hearts into. And our hearts need to be into Christ and not into this world. What does it mean to remain in Him? You see, this is what John has already said, but a do not sin, but when you do type of a book. I mean, nowhere else is this allowed. I mean, the speed limit is, let's just say downtown, 25 miles an hour. I don't know about you, but it is so difficult to go 25 miles an hour. There's no speed bumps, all right? So I'm not going to tear my car up. It is difficult to go from, I don't know, is it 35 before? I haven't paid that much attention except for that one that says your speed is and you are sinning and you're going to hell because you're not going 25 miles an hour. It's difficult. But if the cop pulls me over, he said, well, the sign said 25 and you were wrong, but you were going 35 and you're going to make it anyway, all right? The world doesn't work that way. Children, don't do that again, but it's okay if you don't. Don't run out. Anybody a pellet smoker? I know I'm not a purist when it comes to smoking brisket and pork butts and ribs and all that, but I'm a pellet smoker. Don't run out of pellets, okay? My temperature one time on my little thermometer was going down, and I couldn't figure out why until it dawned on me I was supposed to go get pellets. And so there's no more feed wood being fed to the fire. It's not a don't run out of pellets, but if you do, that's all right. It will keep smoking. The world doesn't work like that. Left turn only going up to Ski Apache. If you don't turn left, it's okay. Well, no, it's not. It's not going to turn out that way. This book is a book about following Him and remaining in Him. It's not a book about getting everything perfect. Now, he said that. He said, I'm writing this so that you don't sin. We know that in the first part of chapter 2. But when you do, you have an advocate. And so what John is about teaching us and showing us how to remain in Him. A world that we live in, and a body of believers that don't do everything just right all the time. How do I make sure that I'm in Him? So that's the question this morning. What does it mean to remain in Him? I'm glad you asked, because it requires action. 1 John chapter 1 and verse 7. But if we walk in the light, as He is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, His Son, purifies us from all sin. It takes walking. Chapter 2 and verse 3, we know that if we have come to know Him, we know we have come to know Him if we keep His commandments. There's some action that happens in remaining in Him. Verse 6 of chapter 2, whoever claims to live in Him must live as Jesus did. Chapter 13 of verse 2, I'm writing to you, fathers, because you know Him who was from the beginning. I'm writing to you, young men, because you have overcome the evil one. You see, it's not just sitting back. There's some overcoming. There's some action taken. There's some movement that happens. One of the things I believe that we as children of God, one of the reasons that we fail is because we're not moving. You ever move a refrigerator? All right? They have wheels on them these days, and it's really kind of cool. You can kind of move them, and when you're moving, you change direction. But it's that first push, all right? It's that first lunge that it's lunge. Is that a word? It is now. It's that first motion that takes the most effort. And when it's moving, you can move it different directions way easier. And I think that's us as children of God. And many times, how we get stuck is when we simply are not moving in a certain direction for God to change us. James chapter 2, starting in verse 14, says, "What good is it, brothers and sisters, if someone claims to have faith but has no deeds? Can such a faith save him?" All right, so here's a contrast between a Christian who has faith and a Christian who has faith, and the first Christian simply has faith, and the second Christian has faith, and they're acting on their faith. Suppose a brother or a sister is without clothes and daily food. If one of you says to them, "Go in peace, be warm and well fed," but does nothing about their physical needs, what good is that? In the same way, faith by itself, if it is not accompanied by action, is dead. But some will say, "I have faith. You have faith. I have deeds. Show me your faith without deeds, and I will show you my faith by my deeds." You believe there is a God. Good. Even the demons believe that and shudder. The Bible is very clear that being a part of Christ is remaining in Him, is the action in trying to follow Him, the walk in Him. So maybe this week wasn't the best week, all right? But did you walk in Him? Maybe this week you messed up more than you did last week. But were you following Him? Were you striving in Him? Were you making action towards God? I think it not only takes action, but it takes perspective. Brandon brought this up in class a couple of weeks ago in Hebrews chapter 6. In verse 13, it says, "When God made His promise to Abraham," you know, the promise to bless all nations through him, "since there was no one greater for him to swear by, he swore by himself, saying, 'I surely will bless you and give you many descendants.' And so after waiting patiently, Abraham received what was promised." There wasn't always patient waiting with Abraham. Remember the story? Remember the story with Sarah and how they weren't having a child, and so that promise wasn't going to take place. And so she says, "Why don't you go and sleep with my handmaiden and Hagar, and that way we can help God along," basically is what they were after. And we don't get the rest of the story other than it happened and it didn't work out, and that wasn't what God had designed for them. But I've always been intrigued by the story. I've always been intrigued by the, "Honey, are you sure? Maybe? Are you sure you want this to happen? Not because of God, but because of you. Do you want it to happen?" Maybe that was the way it went down. Maybe it went down like, "Okay, if you say so, but don't get mad at me later." I don't know what happened there, but it wasn't perfect. There wasn't anything perfect about Abraham and Sarah and how they began to work and act on behalf of God. But then they waited, and God blessed. And through patience, God promised and fulfilled His promise. Maybe remaining in Him just relies for us to, calls for us to be patient. Maybe it calls for us to wait on God. "Not where I thought I would be at this point in my life, God. But I'm going to wait on You. I'm going to trust in You. I'm going to listen to You. I'm not sure where You're headed with this, God. I'm not sure where I'm going." Wait on God. That's how you remain in Him. It definitely calls for perspective, for action. And I think it calls, I don't know, maybe more than anything else, for loving like Jesus loved. Do you remember the Pharisees? When Jesus went to Whataburger, wherever they went, but they looked, they peeked in the window. "Oh, do you see who He's eating with? Tax collectors and sinners. What is He thinking?" And that was Jesus' purpose. It wasn't the sick, the well that needed a doctor. It was the sick. It wasn't those who were healthy that needed Him. It was those who were the scum of the earth, Those who were the riffraff, those who were the ones that no one else wanted. Love like Jesus loved, even on the bad days. Luke chapter 23 and verse 34. Jesus said, on the cross, though, mind you, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing. And they divided up his clothes by casting lots. On the cross, when he could have, as we sing the song, called 10,000 angels to destroy the world and set him free, he said, forgive them, Father. We don't like that, do we? You cut me off, I'm going to cut you off. Well, you did this to me, I'm going to do this to you. I think remaining in him means to love like Jesus loved. Just recently, many of you, if you're on social media at all, have seen what happened in court after Amber Geiger, the Dallas police officer, shot and killed Botham Johns. And his brother had this to say. Let's watch this real quickly.
I don't want to say twice or for the 100th time what you've or how much you've taken from us. I think you know that. But I hope you go to God with all the guilt, all the bad things you may have done in the past. Each and every one of us may have done something that we're not supposed to do. If you truly are sorry, I know I can speak for myself. I forgive you. And I know if you go to God and ask him, he will forgive you. And I don't think anyone could say it. Again, I'm speaking for myself, not even behalf of my family. But I love you just like anyone else. And I'm not gonna say I hope you rot and die just like my brother did, but I personally want the best for you. And I wasn't gonna ever say this in front of my family or anyone, but I don't even want you to go to jail. I want the best for you. Because I know that's exactly what both of them would want you to do. And the best would be give your life to Christ. I'm not going to say anything else. I think giving your life to Christ would be the best thing that both of them would want you to do. Again, I love you as a person. And I don't wish anything bad on you. I don't know if this is possible, but can I give her a hug, please? Please?
Yes.
Just leave that up there for a moment. Convicted of murder, the brother of the one who was murdered, that's him. Brant John is not a disciple because he goes to a church building with the name Church of Christ on it. He is a disciple because he loves like Jesus loves. He is a disciple because he is who Jesus is. You saw him grabbing his collar. It wasn't easy. And it wasn't because it was easy or simply because it was just the right thing to do. Or because all issues are resolved between the African-American community and the officers that have done injustice to them. It wasn't because that was all right. It was because he loved like Jesus loved. And he faced the one and embraced the one who shot and murdered his brother because he loves Jesus and he wants to be like Jesus. It led to this. Pull up the next two pictures. If you haven't seen this, this is the judge. And the judge, and from what we understand, it was her personal Bible. And we don't know everything that was said, but the judge takes her Bible down to Amber Geiger, the convicted murderer, and talks at length with her. And then the next picture embraces the one convicted of murder. Now tell me Jesus didn't live in that courtroom. Tell me that God didn't shine in that courtroom. You see, brothers and sisters, remaining in him is not about getting everything right. Because if it was, we would all be lost. If it was about young people, if it was about getting everything right, then you're doomed. But it's not. It's about living and walking and residing in him and moving in him. And when he says go, you go. And if you go a different direction and you come back, that's okay. That's why Jesus died on the cross. I think we think that we've got to have everything just perfect. I think we think many too often that we do have everything just perfect. That as long as you go to this building with that name outside, you're right with God. And there can be nothing further from the truth. That name just simply reminds us of who we are and who we belong to. What gets us in heaven? And what makes us right with God? And what is truth? And don't get me wrong. Truth is vital to who we are. John would say in chapter 1 that Jesus came full of truth and grace. Or grace and truth. I think too many times we misbalance these. Maybe it's the truth side. Truth, truth, truth. If you're not truth, you're going to hell in a handbasket. And the other side is, well, everything's okay as long as you, well, everything's just okay. You don't have to worry about doing that or doing that. And I think there's a balance between it. And until we become Jesus, until we learn that the truth is truth and grace is needed, we won't ever remain in him. There's a lot of people who worship God who are not remaining in him. Because it's not about, did I sing the right song? Did I sing this verse right? Did I say that verse right? Did I do the Lord's Supper just right? Did I say the right things? Did I do the right thing? It's about remaining in him. And so this week, let those words resound in your head and your heart. You go to school, young people. You remain in him. When you go to work, you remain in him. When you go home, you remain in him. That's how you have assurance, is remaining in him. Somebody this morning, the Spirit is working on, the Spirit is touching. You need to give your life to Christ. We're going to sing a song, and I want to invite you to come down front to confess your sins, to confess your life. You don't have to lay them out in front of everybody, but to confess to God. Be baptized into him, to have your sins forgiven. Maybe the struggle is, I don't know how to remain. I'm so far gone, I need help. So we want to pray with you and pray over you. Maybe that's somebody next to you. Maybe it's one of the elders in the church. Find them where they're sitting. Find them here in a moment at the door. Maybe that's finding myself or Doug to pray over you, to pray with you. But the call this morning is for you to move, to have action, to be patient with God, to remain in him, to love just like he loved. That defines a disciple. May we be more today like Jesus. If you need him, come while we stand and sing.